Hello and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate from Press TV headquarters with me, your host, Behrouz Najafi. Well, they got their name from high visibility jackets that French motorists carry in their cars. The Yellow Vest movement started rallies in France in mid-November in protest against fuel tax hikes. The demonstrations gradually voiced opposition to President Emmanuel Macron's economic reforms and even asked him to resign. The French have rallied in Paris and other cities for six Saturdays in a row. Inspired by Yellow Vest protests in France, copycat rallies have also been held elsewhere in Europe, in Belgium and Portugal, for instance. Now, where are the Yellow Vest rallies heading for? Why did they go viral elsewhere in Europe? Well, first watch a report on that and then begin discussing those questions.
Paris streets on Saturday. Clashes during anti-government rallies by the Yellow Vest movement. The protesters gathered in the capital and other French cities for the sixth consecutive Saturday. The Interior Ministry said 220 people were detained this week. Yellow Vest protests began last month against fuel tax hikes. But they later turned into calls for President Emmanuel Macron's resignation.
Macron doesn't know how to handle French politics. That has led to these protests for the future of the country.
Macron has drawn public anger over sweeping economic changes he has been making since taking office in May 2017. He says the changes are needed to boost economic growth. But opponents say the president favors the rich over the poor. The Yellow Vest protests have been at the peak of a series of rallies by workers and unionists in the past months.
We are here again, but the government does not understand that this is not simply a demonstration, it is a revolution.
France's Yellow Vest movement has inspired rallies in other countries too. Demonstrators took to the streets of Belgium for the fourth week in a row to protest their government's economic policies. Portugal also saw rallies with the same motive.
Our MPs and politicians are a corrupt band, and we want to bring an end to that. We want a better life, an increase to the minimum wage and a reduction in tax.
France protests have continued despite President Macron's decision to reduce taxes and increase the minimum wage.
As for the government's announcement, I consider it to be in the same vein as what they've done from the start, which is to laugh at us.
French protesters say they want general elections to be held and a new National Assembly to come to power. They've pledged to continue their rallies until their demands are met.
Now, with that report, let me introduce our guests who are joining me in this edition of The Debate today. We'll have Kenneth Farrow, who's a lecturer with Coventry University, joining us from London, and also Neil Bradley, columnist and political commentator from Paris. Now, let me start with Kenneth Farrow. Now, weeks of protests in France seem to have inspired people in other countries as well. What has made France to become the source of these protest rallies?
Well, I think obviously France has a history of protests, of left-wing protests and general protests from the left and the right as well. And the beginnings of this really go back to 2005 when the Lisbon Treaty was imposed on France, on the people of France, even though they voted against it. Sarkozy pushed it through after 2 years. So from 2007, there's been an imposition of a European economic policy on the French, and they've suffered from it. So this is the root of the problem. Of course, the whole decline in European economic functioning over the past 10 to 15 years is part of it as well. So generally, economically, there's been a decline in living standards, a decline in social standards, and people are disappointed in the left, in the socialists, they're disappointed in the right as well. And so they're looking for a way of expressing this disappointment and this anger. And so the Yellow Vest movement, the Yellow Vest itself is a symbol of the working class rather than just of motorists. Anybody who has any issue in France in terms of their living standards, in terms of the future of their children, in terms of their hopes for the future, is looking towards this movement to give it some kind of leadership. And so people have warmed to the Yellow Vests, and in fact, people have started using the phrase yellow fever, beginning to spread across European countries. It's early days to see whether that's going to happen. And of course, the demonstrations since 17th of November, which was the first demonstration where we had over 250,000 people take to the streets of France, has reduced. But I think this is a long-term movement, and it's similar to the other movements we've seen in the past and on this area.
Okay, from London, let's go to Paris. I'm going to ask Neil Bradley about the factors that have made the Yellow Vests go viral elsewhere in the world.
Yes, what strikes me first of all is that the countries where it has taken off, really only in small protests in some of those countries, like Portugal 2 days ago, Ireland has seen a couple of big protests, Belgium and the Netherlands have seen bigger ones. It strikes me that you'll notice they're all in Western Europe. I find that very interesting because I've noticed that over the last 2 years, if you look at the election results in either regular elections or snap elections or referenda, across the European Union, so east, west, north, and south, there's a bit of a pattern there, I find, where election results in the east of Europe in general have had clear results for a particular party that's been able to form a majority government as is normal according to their constitutional rules. However, Germany, Belgium, France is a bit of an anomaly. It got a clear majority, but really it was a close call in a sense between the En Marche, and it was a collapse of the established orders of the old party. Ireland, Spain, Germany, of course, with Angela Merkel struggling to form a new government this year. Mm-hmm. If you look at all of these results, politically, they're sclerotic results. There's an inability for the popular will to find expression in the political class, especially in Western Europe. And that's where these protests are happening. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Interesting point. Now, back to Kenneth Thero. One point of the strength of the Yellow Vest movement, some people believe, maybe it's rejection of leaders and the top-down structure. Another point could be its viral spread via social media. Do you agree? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's early days yet in terms of where this movement is going to go and whether it actually wants political power. I think it's a protest movement and they want those in power to reform. And as Neil has said, there's a dysfunctioning at the moment within Western democracies in terms of trust in politicians, in terms of trust in the ability of the conventional parties, the dominant parties that we've seen since the end of the Second World War, to actually deliver what people want. And so this rejection of conventional parties is resulting in two things, really. One is that people are moving much more towards a kind of totalitarian politics, particularly on the right across Eastern Europe and some countries in Western Europe as well. And obviously also an increase in leftist politics. And you've seen that certainly in Britain with Corbyn and the growth of a movement, which is basically appealing to young people who are becoming aware of leftist politics for the first time in almost two decades. And so these two sides really are trying, are fighting out to see what space they can find within conventional politics. And that space just isn't there because conventional politics is currently dominated by a mainstream conservative elite, which is the European political and economic project. And so that's one of the issues that we're seeing at the moment. And of course, the fact that people across Western Europe and Eastern Europe, of course, are living in poverty in some of these countries. In Britain alone, there are 14 million people who are below the poverty line. In France, there are 7 million people below the poverty line. And so this is a very serious structural problem of really structural violence. It's not just about people's disappointment in the ability of politicians to represent them. It's really a fundamental questioning of why anywhere, not just in Europe, why people are suffering in poverty when clearly there's a very large elite who are living in absolute luxury. And I think this is what people are angry about, the fact that they can't get basic economic rights. They can't get their human rights as far as, the right to eat. Mm-hmm. Whilst this is going on, they're seeing that money's being made and they're just absolutely angry about it, and rightly so.
Okay, we kind of got off tangents from my question. Let me put the same question to Neil Bradley. Let's have your comments and thoughts about these two aspects that I just mentioned about the nature of the Yellow Vest movement. You know, being grassroots, having no leader, and also the way that they spread out through social media. Are these points of strength or points of weakness, or maybe both?
I'd say it's a strength, absolutely a strength, because look at the only matching strength that the state, the authorities, by which I mean the state and the media and corporations, the whole gamut of what's available to the state today. Look at its response. It's been really heavy-handed. 5,000 arrests, police turning the protests violent nearly all of the time. Yes, there's been looting, and obviously when you have protests involving hundreds of thousands and over weeks, millions of people, there will be crimes committed by some individuals. But the overwhelming majority of cases, it's the state's response that has sparked off the scenes that are later filmed by the media working as an adjunct of the state to characterize these people a certain way. The French state and also Western media in general tend to characterize this as a fascist uprising. Now, where are they getting that from? I wonder. The gentleman who spoke before me, I forget his name, he said that he characterized the right in Europe, I guess he meant by that the political party, but also I imagine the popular support for them in many countries, he characterized them as totalitarian. This is clearly not an accurate description. What we're seeing now and what we will see play out in the months and years ahead is that the totalitarian expression comes from the center. And the center is what holds power in Europe at the moment. Whether it be a nominally conservative or nominally socialist government, these people are working to a very tight set of parameters, and they will not brook any dissent whatsoever, which is why these protesters in France and elsewhere now, we'll see it, just you wait, are going to be characterized as fascist, as pushist, as anti-Semites. The Interior Ministry of France yesterday, this is the big push at the moment, in the last 24 hours or 48 hours in the news cycle in France, is berating Yellow Vests as being anti-Semitic, which we know is a calling card for someone pushing an agenda to quieten dissent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kenneth Farrow, what do you think would be the prospect for the Yellow Vest movement? Will the movement be able to stand united and push for its demands, or will it fall apart for various reasons?
It's interesting when we look at social media. You asked that question before. If we have to compare this to the Arab Spring and how social media was used to mobilize millions and millions of people across the Arab world who were asking for different rights wherever they were in whichever country it was, there's a very big difference here, because this really hasn't grabbed the spirit of the people, apart from in France. It's very early days in these other countries we've talked about, but the potential is there, because based on the economic situation of countries, back based on the growth of the right, which is a great danger. And certainly in Britain, for example, the increase of racist attacks, for example, during the discussions around Brexit, are something that can't be denied. So there certainly is a growth of the right wing, and not just in terms of their political parties, but an interest in right wing politics. Now, it may be that the right wing politicians are appealing to the masses through the language they're using, which is a language of division. But nevertheless, this isn't something that we can ignore. Now, in terms of this particular movement, there is obviously a hope that this will take on in other countries as well. But after 4, 5, 6 weeks, I would have thought that this is something which would have taken control already. Of course, we've seen these, you know, small gestures in these other European countries. But I think the danger for the states only, the European states, is that this will grow and it will be a movement which tries to force through a kind of centrist agenda, which is something which they want to control. Now, the only solution really is for individual countries to deal with this situation in terms of poverty, in terms of the rights of workers, and all the demands that the people, the Gilets Jaunes are asking for in France. Because remember, this is not just about economics. This is about human rights. This is about political rights. It's about the direction that the people of France want their country to go in. And of course, France has a fantastic history of resistance. If you think about 1789, the revolution, if you think about 1871, the Paris Commune, and even after the Second World War, 1948 onwards, this is a country whose people take to the streets to protest when they're not happy, when they want change. Mm-hmm. And I think this will continue.
Okay. Now, on the same line, we're turning to the issue of issues facing France. Neal, after weeks of rallies, Macron eventually gave up and promised to scrap this unpopular fuel tax rise and offer an extra 100 euros a month for minimum wage earners and also tax cuts for pensioners. But these measures have not been able to appease the protesters. They are asking for more concessions. What exactly are they asking for?
Chief among their political desires is the introduction of popular referenda, specifically referenda that can be put forward by initiative by anyone in the country that must achieve a certain number of signatures, and then it must be put to the people. This is an interesting introduction because, of course, the last popular referendum that was held in France was the one mentioned by my colleague earlier in 2005, which had something like a 70% turnout, very high turnout, and a clear majority of 55% said no to the formation of a European constitution, which Europe still got in the form of the Lisbon Treaty 3 years later. So they want popular referenda back. This would be a big change. And the only way to get that back would be through constitutional change. But that's only, if you like, the most commonly talked about thing. They also want a whole new assemblée, a whole new people's parliament, in effect. I've heard it articulated very clearly by a number of them that they want a new republic. We're in the era, in France's context, of a fifth republic. It's a very executive-heavy, presidential form of government. They want to return to a much more parliamentary-type government, which they had in the fifth republic. So they're talking about a fundamental constitutional change, which would, of course, include Macron being finished and not seeing out his term. He must resign. They're deadly serious. They want Macron to resign. And you see that articulated in the extremist ways through the expression that they're threatening to come and cut his head off. I don't think people are talking about that seriously. But the Macron government is taking that very seriously and cracking down hard on any suggestion that there will be anything like what we saw in 1789. But yeah, they're talking about a complete overhaul of the French Republic, a whole new republic.
Now, Kenneth Farrow, it's not only France, you know, in Portugal also there was a rally held on Friday. Yeah. And the ralliers say they are not aligned to any political party like the Yellow Vests. They're ordinary people who are tired of corruption and taxes. Same protest rallies were held in Brussels, but for 4 weeks. Now, what have made people in these countries take to the streets in protest?
why have they taken to the streets in protest? They've taken to the streets, obviously, because the situations in these countries is similar in terms of the economic position of the majority of working class people, and in fact, of working people in general. People are fed up with corruption, they're fed up with austerity. People, after years of austerity, have begun to realize, many of them knew already, that the austerity measure was simply a way of refunneling funds towards people that have the power in the first place. And so people want an end to austerity, they want to have control, political control, over the direction of their countries, which they feel under the European project has failed them. And so the fact that the Gilets Jaunes movement is not just specific to France, that it's spreading across other European countries, is really an indication of the fact that people across Europe are certainly wanting some kind of change, and we have to wait and see what happens with this. Of course, I think this is my reading of this is that this is really going to be a long-term movement in terms of its ability to spread across different European countries. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult to tell at the moment mm-hmm. because the situation okay. is very different.
We're running short of time. For 30 seconds, please, each gentleman, have your final thoughts. Niall, would you predict we'll go on with the Yellow Vest movement? 30 seconds.
Well, it's funny. 2 weeks ago on this show, I predicted that it would probably peter out, although maybe return in some other form next year. Mm. I don't know, though. They're still going through these holidays, and the French media, on behalf of the French government, is massively downplaying the number of the protesters that are on the streets. So it's Christmas is upon us, and they're still out there, they're still protesting. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to continue, I think it's going to grow. This is drawing in much more than the working class, this is drawing in middle class people too. Everyone is feeling it because of the downward pressure from okay. super wealthy entities across Europe.
And Kenneth, 30 seconds please.
Well, I would hope that the situation in France escalates, certainly after the holiday period, when students are back into university, and that that the people of France lead the way for the rest of Europe and start to take control of their countries and their economies and their rights. Mm-hmm.
All right. On that note, we come to the end of this debate. Let me thank our guests. We had Kenneth Farrow, lecturer with Coventry University, joining us from London, and also Niall Bradley, columnist and political commentator, who joined us from Paris. Thank you both, gentlemen, for your participation, and thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.